That might be the fastest that we've quieted the room in all the time that we've been doing this event. I believe since 2005 was our very first Team Canada Media Day. Bob, correct me, or Rick Young. 2005, Mississauga was our very first one. Certainly one of the highlight days that we run with Golf Canada. Thank you very much for joining us here at Westin Golf and Country Club. My name is Dan Pino, Senior Director of Communications with Golf Canada. We'll be emceeing today. To get us started, we would like to acknowledge that where we are meeting today is situated upon the traditional Indigenous territories that include the Wendat, the Anishinaabeg Nation, the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, and the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nations. Golf Canada acknowledges and respects the Indigenous peoples of Canada that for hundreds of generations have been the keepers of the territories where we all live, work, and play. Very special thank you to our Team Canada program partners joining us today, RBC, CPKC, Titleist FootJoy, Hilton, Sport Canada, Puma, and Foresight Sports Canada. Also very pleased to be joined by a number of our Golf Canada Foundation donors, and I know Martin Barnard with the foundation will be sharing a little bit more about the impact of those donors and those corporate champions. Current and past president, where is David McCarthy? David is our current Golf Canada president, and we also have past president Paul McLean. Where's Paul? Paul, thank you for joining us, and certainly someone who's meant a lot to the organization, to the national team program, the foundation. Thank you very much to Westin. How about a round of applause for the Westin Golf and Country Club? Rob Ackerman, Colin Emery, Franca Machirullo, everybody. This is the second year that we've done our National Team Media Day here at Westin in a different format, but certainly the same level of commitment and support. And so to the golf course, thank you very much for being such wonderful hosts and supporters of the National Team program. Real quick, I'm going to introduce our Team Canada coaches and players that are here to my left, starting with Sylvia Moussani, our Stollery family, Team Canada Women's Head Coach. Thank you for joining us. We can do them all at the end, but you definitely deserve it up front. We'll do all of our applause at the end. Our men's team head coach, Derek Ingram. Derek. Our national head of talent identification, Tristan Mullally. And Jeff McDonald, our assistant coach with Team Canada Next Gen. There's Jeff. There you are. Our athletes. You want to just raise your hand. Chris Oligo, Nicole Gall, Owen Kim, Henry Lee, Brendan McDougall, Ben McLean, Lindsay McGrath, Noah Steele, Johnny Trevally, Chris Wilson, Alyssa Hsu, and Sue Darshan Yella Miraju. How did I say that? I do all right? Okay. All right. That's why we practice. So the format for our program, we're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to start with some remarks from Martin Barnard for the Golf Canada Foundation. Chief Sport Officer Kevin Blue is going to walk us through a program update with the national team program. And then Golf Canada CEO Lawrence Applebaum will share some exciting news that connect our Team Canada program and next week's RBC Canadian Open. So, Martin Barnard, if you want to come on up, CEO of the Golf Canada Foundation.
Thank you, Dan. I really appreciate everyone coming out today. A wonderful, wonderful day. I think the coaches did a fantastic job, and so did the players. So let's have a round of applause for them. Dan asked me to give an update on our progress at the foundation. For those of you who noticed last year, as part of the announcement to move the home of Canadian golf to Caledon, the foundation, in conjunction with Golf Canada, launched a national campaign called the Drive Campaign. And we launched it last summer, having raised over $36.9 million towards a goal of $70 million. So we're very, very excited about that launch. somewhat unprecedented in Canadian sport. We like to think, you know, the sport is on a real trajectory right now, thanks to all the people in this room. And we're excited to be able to build for the future. So that campaign, as of today, we've gone from $36.9 million. As we stand here today, we're at $42 million pledged toward that $70 million total. And the elements of the campaign are threefold. You may have seen we launched First Tee in Canada a couple of years ago. So a big part of that, those funds are going towards chapters in Canada to launch First Tee, plus also the local funding for the chapters within Canada. The second part of it is the Golf Canada headquarters that will be built out in Caledon. And in conjunction with that, we're building a First Tee headquarters and a performance center that will be located out at TPC Toronto. And we're excited so that when we do have some players in town, there'll be some winter activity, there'll be hitting bays, there'll be a short game center. There will be the ability to do video conferencing with coaches across the country, whether that be First Tee training, whether that be coach training. Maybe we'll get all of you in some kind of a session through the video side of things. Maybe that'll ease up on the travel on some of these coaches. But we're very excited about that progress. Of course, the third element is sort of what brings us here today, which is the high performance program, and that is Team Canada. And as part of that launch last year, we had a core group of people who stepped up to really make this this possible. We had a group called the Team Canada Council pledge $15 million towards Team Canada over the next 10 years. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with the paper Kevin Blue put out to launch 30 PGA Tour and LPGA Tour players by 2032. We've certainly taken that that drive to heart, and we've had some longtime donors with us that have been a part of this, and I just want to acknowledge a few of them here today. We have Steve Lister and Dr. Molly Rundle. We have Wayne Robbins. We have John Francis. And the last person in this group that I'd like to acknowledge really was a bit of a ringleader for this entire campaign, you know, a huge, huge part of the growth and development of the foundation. As Dan said earlier, a past president of Golf Canada, a current Golf Canada Foundation board member, and also past president of Golf Canada Foundation. I'd like to bring up Paul McLean to receive a gift. There's a little bit of a story here too, so give me one second, Paul. Which is last fall at our donor event called the Trustee Cup, we had all these bags made for our Team Canada Council members, and due to what I'll call supply chain issues, we didn't actually have the bag for the person who gave the lead gift of $5 million and is so connected to this entire program. So please come on up and accept your bag, Paul. We've asked Paul just to say a few words about the campaign and about his investment in the Team Canada program here in Canada. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Martin. And thanks, everybody, for attending today. I think that hopefully today it's interesting. We quite often play golf on Media Day, and I think they picked a different agenda. And we got to actually get inside the ropes, not during a tournament, but sort of in the preparation to be a player of this stature. And it was quite intriguing and informing, and you realize how sort of technical and how many different things they pay attention to be an elite player. So I think that thank you to all of you who have contributed to the development team and the council, and together we're going to have a big impact in the Canadian golf on the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour and many tours in between. And I think that one of the observations I did have today isn't just the passion we all share for the game of golf, but it's the characters of the people, the coaches, the players, the leaders we have with Lawrence, Martin, Kevin, Garrett, David. It's just a great group of people, and I think that that really makes a difference if we see the investments we're making in the game, but I think we're really investing in people too. And I think hopefully you got to see the character and the passion and the respectful nature that everyone conducts themselves under. And it gets me pretty excited about the Canadian flags we're going to see on the leaderboards on CBS on the weekends, and just really seeing everyone here excel with the kind of momentum that we're going to help provide them. So thank you very much for the golf bag. I'm not sure I was too excited that the two of the three things I was called was past president. So I got to come up with something that's the former I'm going to be or something. But anyway, thanks so much for supporting today, and I'll pass the meeting back on, and congrats to everybody here. We're pretty excited about your performance. So thanks.
Thank you very much, Paul. As Martin mentioned, you know, there was a very bold vision that was put in place for the new national team, call it National Team Program or Team Canada 2.0, you know, put in place, you know, led by Kevin Blue. And part of that was a very bold expectation that the organization put on itself, and to get those 30 players to the PGA Tour and LPGA Tour by 2032. And that's an expectation that certainly our media friends in the room will hold us accountable for, and it was done previous when proclamations were made. So Kevin is going to come up and share a little bit about the strategic plan for the national team program, and also a bit of a Q&A with our athletes and coaches.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Before I start my comments, I just want a quick acknowledgement of our staff that has operated this event behind the scenes. Emily Phoenix is in the back, and Matt Scanzano, thank you so much for everything you all have done today. Somewhere in Canada, literally right now as I speak to you today, right now, in fact, there's a kid sitting in a classroom, I don't know, what time is it? 1:50. Dutifully paying attention to the teacher for sure, but also kind of looking out the window, realizing, oh, it's a really nice day, counting down the minutes until the bell rings, and can't wait for their parent to come pick them up, take them to the course, and she gets to practice until dark in pursuit of her LPGA Tour dream. That's happening right now. And in many ways, some of the people on the stage here were that kid, or still are that kid, I'm guessing. And you know, that's really, we think about that kid a lot in our work. Similarly, a couple weeks ago, I guess two Sundays ago now, millions of Canadians gathered, and I'm sure all of you did, gathered in front of the TV to watch Corey Connors try to win the PGA. And although it didn't turn out for Corey last Sunday, we all know his time's coming. He's playing great. His time is coming. And our job is really to support that kid in the classroom to pursue her dream, so that millions of people across Canada, like they are inspired by Corey, can be inspired by that future player. We've heard recently a lot of people say, and Paul referenced it, you know, we get a lot of texts of literally pictures of leaderboards with Canadian flags on it these days. That's great. Isn't it great to have so many Canadians on the leaderboard? Fantastic. We also hear, you know, this is the golden age of Canadian golf. And indeed, we are proud. Indeed, it is special. Indeed, it is significant. Many people in this room should be commended. And in addition, the vision of those who are here before us, people like Derek and Tristan and others who have been here from the very start. Derek was the junior coach when I was playing on the team long, long time ago. Derek didn't have more hair then. But, you know, to tell you the truth, we don't really like the sound of the label, like golden era of Canadian golf, because it implies that it's temporary or won't be sustained. Instead, we spend our time thinking about the question, how great can Canada be? That's how we think about it. How great can Canada be? Jim Collins, who is a former Stanford Business School professor, wrote a famous business book that I'm sure many of you have read, in which he studied the characteristics of successful companies who were able to make a leap to truly market-leading performance. The title of that book was Good to Great. And the first chapter of the book, Good to Great, was entitled Good is the Enemy of Great, alluding to the fact that truly great companies had to push themselves to achieve even more. So we are very, very, very proud of what has been accomplished by Canadian players to date. And we, along with everybody that's sitting over here, are relentlessly focused on further progress. In the book Good to Great, Jim Collins also introduced the concept of the big, hairy, audacious goal, or what is often referred to as the BHAG for short. A big, hairy, audacious goal, according to Collins, was a key ingredient in the transformation of these companies from good to great, and it has the following characteristics. The BHAG, or the big, hairy, audacious goal, is clear, it's compelling, it serves as a unifying focal point of effort, it engages people, it reaches out and grabs them, it's tangible, energizing, highly focused, and people get it right away. It requires little or no explanation. So we have talked about the idea of one day having 30 players on the major tours. Is this a big goal? Yes. Is it audacious? Absolutely yes. Is it realistic? Well, viewed from a certain perspective, one could argue that it is not realistic at all. 30 players implies a doubling, in fact, right now more than doubling slightly, of the number of players that we've had on tour, which is a very difficult task. But in other ways, over the long term, we view this goal as very, very much achievable. Canada is a major golfing country. My colleagues in the organization hear me say this like five times a week. Canada is a major golfing country. There's going to be 6 million people who play golf in Canada this year out of a country of 38 million people. By contrast, there are fewer than 500,000 golfers in Sweden, a country that has similar weather and culture as Canada, and is one that we're competing against in the production of tour players. Canada is a major golfing country, and part of the value of our vision for 30 players on tour one day is that it helps us think of ourselves as a major golfing country. It helps us move on from thinking ourselves as the plucky underdogs that we might have been at one time. So as we pursue the big, hairy, audacious goal, we are reminded that what is required is the alignment of stakeholders. In my previous job in college sports, at one time I was an athletic director in the NCAA, if you wanted to win at football, you had to have alignment of all the key stakeholders, starting from the trustees, the president, the athletic director, donors, the football coach, and the players, in order to garner the resources necessary and establish the cultural parameters required for success. In Canadian golf, there is a broad ecosystem of stakeholders that all have an impact on the way that the young players to my left will be supported and will be developed. If you are a golfer in Canada or a member at a golf club, we ask that you continue to advocate for accessible junior programs at your club. In fact, one day we'd like to see a world in Canada in which every private club across the country has at least two non-family sponsored junior spots for competitive juniors. There's many clubs that have sponsored junior programs. We'd like to see that to be universal. If you're a golf course operator, we would love you to please consider the opportunities you create and continue to provide for competitive junior golfers. Host junior golf tournaments. Allow junior golfers to play for affordable green fees. If you are a philanthropist, like many people in this room, please consider supporting the Team Canada program like the generous donors from the Team Canada Council have done. Doing this makes a big difference in the lives of players, the people to my left, the people that are throughout the country trying to become great players, and makes a big impact on the competitive fabric of Canadian golf. If you are a partner or a prospective partner, consider how an affiliation with these players, these incredible players and coaches, can help you achieve your business goals while also making a tremendous impact on the sport in our country. And most of all, if you are a player, continue to put in the work and believe that you can and that you will make it. Watch what is happening on the tour right now. If players like Brooke, Motomi LeBlanc, Matty Zarek, Corey Connors, Mac Hughes, Adam Svensson, Mike Gligich, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If they can do it, you all can do it, and people at home who are working towards it can also do it. Players out there, you all have a country of people, companies, and philanthropists behind you. So it's an exciting journey for our players. Thanks, everybody, for coming and for your support of Team Canada. I'm going to transition. We're going to talk a little bit to the players. We're fortunate to have a bunch of players and coaches up here that have some fantastic experience and insights to share. I'd like to start with Lindsay and Alicia. Alyssa, U.S. four ball. For those of you who may have been following, we have a U.S. four ball team right here. Can you all just talk about your experience at the U.S. four ball? You made a nice run into the match play. It would be super cool to share with the audience your experience down at the U.S. four ball recently.
We didn't even know that we were going to be into the field until a week or two beforehand. We were second alternates in our Michigan qualifier, so we just took it off our schedule completely that we were not going to end up going. But we took the most of our opportunity and ended up going to Washington. And no expectations, just play, have fun with one of my greatest friends, and just play golf. And we ended up making the cut, which was one of our biggest goals, and we were very happy about that and ended up succeeding in match play and just having the best time. And I can't be more grateful for the opportunity to be in Washington with Alyssa and our Team Canada coach, Darcy, who was there for support, and just all the great memories that we made.
Anything to add to that? You're on the spot a little bit there, Alyssa.
Yeah. So I would just like to highlight how supported I felt. Like, the first people that we told the moment we got in, it was, like, such a great surprise. We, like, texted the coach. We texted, like, Rob. We texted, like, Jeff. Like, just knowing that they were able to support us and give us backing. And, of course, like, special shout-out to Canada coach Darcy Dillon. He was on the bag for me for, like, 4 days, and he was absolutely great. Like, we just had a wonderful time. And I want to particularly mention, because Lindsay didn't, that on first day of match play, right after we made the cut, we were playing really well. Lindsay actually made back-to-back eagles. And first stroke play, we were, I think, 9 under through 12, and then we finished 7 and 6. So,
nice.
So the junior girls, we have a really strong contingent of junior girls coming up. Two of them are here. And next week, I guess this week now, the LPGA Tour is in New York for the Mizuho, and played concurrently with this event at Liberty National is a tournament featuring the top 25 players from the American Junior Golf Association, AJGA, which is like the top junior collection of tournaments in the world. And five of those 25 players are Canadians. So it's really good. The contingent of junior girls coming up is very strong, and we look forward to seeing progress from you both and future progress down the road. Transitioning over to, I want to talk a little bit, or ask the players and the coaches a little bit about training. One of the things in Canada we have is winter, obviously. Inconvenient. It's hard to practice in the winter. So we're fortunate to have, thanks to the support of all of you, been able to develop some winter resources for the players. One of these is an affiliation with a facility in Phoenix called Legacy Golf Resort, where there are interchangeable memberships, and basically anyone in the program that needs to go down and practice can practice. We also we have two houses down there that we rent, one for temporary housing for players, another one temporary housing for coaches who are there for the winter. So I'd like to ask some of these young, I guess, Dukes, you can speak on behalf of the group, but there's several of them. Some of the pros that you're sitting in the front row there spent considerable time in Phoenix at the house. It's a place for them as they graduate and transition into their careers. You know, they can't just go home and live at home and train because they live like it's winter. So Phoenix, can you guys talk about the house, your experience, and sort of how the culture is, what you're getting out of it?
I can do my best.
Thank you.
No guarantees. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay, perfect. Yes. This house in Phoenix is incredible. It gives, I know there's a lot of us who have been there for an extended period of time, and without it, I don't think we'd be where we are, especially with winters. As you said, if this was February, there'd be a foot of snow out there, so no golf happening. It gives us a great central hub to practice, play, compete, everything we need to get ready. And I think the best part for us is we all get to hang out, practice, play together. And on good days, beat the other person. On bad days, lose, which happens more than often. But yeah, without it, none of us would be where we are. None of us would be sitting here. And it's given a lot of us an opportunity, and for the future, it'll give them an even bigger opportunity.
Thanks. The house is modest. It does, I don't know how big it is, but it's not very big. It sleeps right now eight?
Nine.
Eight or nine, but anyway, one day, they behave. One day, right at the beginning of this, we were trying to figure out how it was going to go, and we have some responsible professional people here, as you can tell, but you never know, right? So I kind of knock on the door one day. I didn't tell him I was coming over. I walk in there. Henry's like making a chicken breast and putting on a salad. Noah's doing some foam rolling. Like, they're stretching, like, and it felt really good to walk in to see that rather than the alternative. Jeff, can you talk a little bit about Phoenix and the winter program that we ran for the juniors this year? You spent a lot of time in Phoenix, too.
One of the cool things about it that I thought was great is the guys in front of me here were often there at the same time, so our players had the opportunity to train with them and to play with them, and they were fantastic with our younger players and supported them as well. So I just felt like, part of a really good community, felt well supported there, and I felt like we did a great job in preparing our players for the season. And like I said, the weather was so much better that felt like we really got a lot of really good work done. And I think, we're off to such a good start this year, partly or mostly because of that training opportunity that we had in Phoenix. So it was, really greatly appreciated. The players all loved it. And, it was nice to get out of Nova Scotia every 2 weeks as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. I want to now turn to Tristan. Tristan, as many of you know, was at one time the head coach of the women's national team. And with the increased in sort of focus we've placed on helping players and their families and their coaches get the right information at younger ages, we put Tristan in the very, very important role of national head of talent ID. Tristan, can you brief folks on kind of what you do and how important that part of the developmental pathway is?
Yeah, we could be here all day. I think what we've seen across the country is that, athletes are getting support on a national level. And when they're reaching a national team program, they've come through other programs that have been really sophisticated. They come through a provincial program. They've come from coaches who are doing a great job. And one of the areas we felt that we could support more was to actually go down into the local communities, into the province, and actually add support, add value. And we've done that in a couple of different ways. We've created a coaches network where we have education on a monthly basis. We've created a testing program that we're delivering across the country that is part testing so we can get some data and have real long-term goals, but also an education component so that we're getting good information. And that's imparted by these coaches who are across the country who are already doing an excellent job. And then we're supporting coaches and their players and their parents in understanding the path that they should take and where there is gaps in what they need in terms of resources, trying to fill them so that they're a part of the family earlier and that the information that they're getting is the same information as they would if they got the national team, but we're getting a little bit earlier.
Yeah. One of the things that people have asked when we talk about supporting younger players, between the ages of, say, 11 and 14, people say, well, wait a second, is that pushing them too young, too fast, too soon? And I don't think we would describe it that way. I think we're actually providing the right information to help the parents and the families orient themselves properly to the competitive golf journey. Also, we got to remember in this country, there is things like AAA hockey at young ages, and it's okay for people to be dedicated to what they're doing at younger ages as long as they get the right information. Okay, we will conclude. I'd like to ask Derek. Derek was with Corey Connors and Taylor Pendrith at the PGA. Derek, can you reflect a little bit on the solid play that we saw there and maybe give everybody a little bit of a taste of what to expect from some of the Canadian PGA Tour players at Oakdale?
Yeah, so first of all, the PGA was awesome. We had Adam Svensson also had an unreal week, was in a great position. I don't think those guys feel intimidated at all being in that position. I think they're starting to enjoy it. They believe that they can compete with the best 10 or 15 or 20 players in the game. And I think it's like Kevin was talking about earlier, it first starts with a belief and then you start to do it and kind of follow through on that. So it was super exciting. I know Taylor and Adam specifically, were in position after two rounds and maybe weren't happy with where they finished after those four rounds. And I know specifically with Corey as well, he's not happy with the 12th place finish for sure. Not happy with the way he finished, but I think there's a lot of lessons being learned from those players, and they're getting there. They're really making some progress. The other, I guess, just the feel on the PGA Tour, or all the players in the PGA Tour now, there's a real Team Canada feel out there. Guys are playing practice rounds, practicing together. They're there for each other, supporting each other. And week after week, there tends to be an opportunity for a Canadian to have a great week. And that's important, because there's strength in numbers. When you have one person out there, it can get a little bit lonely. When you have six or seven or eight, and you have people to play practice rounds or have dinner with, or your families and your kids play together, it really creates a nice culture and a nice environment for them. And so that's how it is in general in the PGA Tour. And if you're looking at the RBC Canadian Open, well, the players are stoked about that. I can promise you it's a major on their schedule. It's as important as any tournament on the PGA Tour to them. They love playing in Canada, and they're really looking forward to it. So I know it's really important to them. They want to have a great week. They're super excited about Oakdale, and they're also super excited about being Canadian and having a great week in Canada.
Awesome. Thanks, D.I. It's going to be fun to support them all in the next couple of weeks. Okay, to conclude, I'd like to call up CEO Lawrence Applebaum to share some news about the RBC Canadian Open and the Team Canada program. Lawrence.
Thanks, Kev. Maybe I should have to start with last time I went eagle in a round. Bob, when was that? Never. That's amazing. We sit out and look at the faces of our athletes, and it makes us incredibly proud of all of you guys. And when I say guys, I mean guys and girls. That you're doing amazing things, and we're so proud to have you. When we see the tans, the way the tans look, Noah, I know you're out there grinding and working hard. And that really also goes for all of our coaches. We can tell stories that go for hours and hours about the commitment our coaches, our athletes, and our staff make to this program. And you can see from some of the logos and some of the brands that are up around us that a lot of people will ask me how this all comes together and how this works. And it works because of all of this. It works because we have an amazing staff. And I would be remiss if I didn't make a special mention to Matthew Scanzano. Matthew is a baseball player by trade who's learned golf and put on an amazing event. So to Matt and Emily and the whole sport team, well done, very well done. At least two of our very long tenured media members mentioned that they've played a lot of these, and they always get a chance to play beautiful golf courses. But when they get a chance to be inside the ropes, it's a real treat for all of us. So that was wonderful. We talk about our partners, and maybe one of the small recipes of magic is that we've been able to figure out how to put business together with sport, and to the amazing partnership, sponsorship team that sometimes goes behind the scenes at sometimes these events. It's an amazing component, and we get a chance to have some of our major partners that come, and I'll just pick on one today, as I'll pick on our friends at Titleist FootJoy. Ted Manning has been in this business a long time, and he gets 2 minutes with the guys, and he is right inside their equipment, what they need, what they have, and that's just one example of the partners that we have. So Ted, thank you very much for how much you lean into our entire program. And then the foundation folks. There's a table of them over here and a small table of them over here, and I see our foundation staff is here. These numbers, we throw them out, $1 million invested here or $5 million invested there. They have put the entire program on their shoulders and allowed us to perform on a world stage. So I just want to say that for all the things that you see up here, the young smiling faces, some of the older smiling faces, the grizzled veterans and the staff, it's really a special time. And your leader in Kevin Blue is a pretty neat guy. He's a pretty neat guy who uprooted his family to come here and drive a program. It's not a happy ending to the story. It's not a terrible ending, but on Sunday morning, Kevin and I were texting back and forth, and we had each probably received 100 of texts and emails about this is going to be Corey's day. So Kevin and I jumped in a car and spent the next 4 hours in a car ride, in a two-hour car ride we made into four to go see Corey win our second male major, or our fourth total major in Canada. And as Derek said, it didn't work out the day like the day we had hoped. But it was so exciting to sort of proverbially think about being there with all of you and your support to go see our next major Canadian champion. So I think it's sitting up here, or it's sitting with your peers who are out there grinding, but we know we have a real great chance. They've given me a very nice honor here, and they've given me an honor to announce the three players who will receive an exemption into the RBC Canadian Open. Bob Weeks, it's not you, unfortunately. I've been thinking about it a lot. I've been thinking so much. He's had a chance before, and he's here in the room, and I'm incredibly proud of how hard he's worked. He digs it in the dirt at Hamilton a lot of times, so please join me in congratulating Johnny Trevally. He's got a playoff mustache going, so I think that's good. And then two gentlemen who aren't with us here. I know they'll hear your cheers, but it's Miles Crichton of Digby, Nova Scotia. He's the low Canadian player on the PGA Tour Latin America season. He's currently sitting at 16th overalls. Miles also had a top 10 finish this past weekend in the Columbia Classic, and he played without his own clubs due to a bit of a baggage fiasco. So congratulations to Miles Crichton. And then last but not least, our third and final player development exemption is given to Stuart McDonald of Vancouver, British Columbia, for his exceptional play on PGA Tour Latin America. In just five starts, Stuart has finished top 20 in all events, and he also was third in the past Columbia Classic. So we will have an exceptional Canadian contingent at the RBC Canadian Open. I can tell that many of you who we've seen at the RBC Canadian Open Media Day, it's going to be an exceptional championship. It's going to, the course is in amazing shape. It will surprise a lot of people. And I'll just end by saying that this sport is making changes. It's making changes for inclusion and diversity and participation and performance. And so today we get a chance to celebrate all your performance. So best of luck to everybody, and really thank you all for being here today and telling all these amazing stories of our program. Thank you so much.
Thank you, LA. I don't know if anybody worked harder at their game today than Lawrence. Like, coaches, how was Lawrence out there? He was working.
No exemption for Lawrence.
No exemption, but working hard. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Before we close off, do we have any questions from the floor for any of our coaches, our athletes, general interest, or anybody from the media? I know we'll do some availability after for journalists that are here, but do we have any questions about the program or about the day or where we're going with the program? It's okay if you don't, but Rick.
You just said the day. So the change from having us go out and play a round of golf, press conference, that kind of thing, what did you hope to get from this change? From what was the vision for today to put us through the five stations? I don't know who wants to take that, but KB?
Sure, Rick. Yeah, the objective was to provide an insight for everybody into the sophistication and the professionalism that the coaching staff and the sports science staff bring to the table, and for everybody to gain an appreciation for what is actually required. And you just saw little slivers of it today, right? But you saw it in five different areas, but that's what's required to play at a world-class level. So that was we wanted you all to come away with a better appreciation of that and understanding of that.
Well, I'm excited for the PGA Tour Canada season. It's going to be a long season, but we're going across Canada and finally back to, well, last year was a full schedule. This year, again, is a full schedule. Can finally play and travel normally and all that. I don't have to worry about COVID or anything like that right now. So, yeah, very excited for that. And hopefully aim for me and obviously a lot of the other players who are playing to get the top five and get a Korn Ferry card and see from there if we can go to the PGA Tour as soon as possible.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I mean, I think Sudarshan said it pretty well. I mean, if I were to answer it in one word, it would just kind of be everything. We're all blessed to have awesome opportunities ahead of us. And, you know, there's more than one way to move up. But I think all of us are playing the Monday qualifier, except Johnny. Good job. Congrats. But we're all going to be battling it out together. And, you know, hopefully a few of us can advance through and be at Oakdale next week. But either way, we all have great chances on PGA Tour Canada, move up to the Korn Ferry, and, you know, just keep learning along the way through the journey.
I'll say one thing. I guess just layering on that, really just the opportunity. We all certainly work really hard and compete hard in the winter months when there maybe isn't as much to play or we find things to play. And you never know what lies ahead. So I think just kind of believing in the good things coming and hoping that there are maybe a few lying ahead for all of us because, we put the time in. So just excited for the chances that we have and hopefully we can execute.
And I think it's just like the strength in numbers, especially on the men's side and the PGA Tour Canada. It's nice to have all these guys around me, and we're all going to be playing week in, week out. So it's nice to be able to play a practice round, set up some dinners, and that's what DI alluded to. It's the strength in numbers, and that's kind of what I'm excited to see. And see, you know, if it's not my week, cheer for the next guy, and likewise.
On the women's side, yeah, just exciting. As Kevin mentioned, the junior girls coming up, and even with our team that we have, Nicole's here with me, and a lot of excitement coming up. There's great golf to be had. We have a couple in the U.S. Open already. Two of our players are in the U.S. Open already, and a whole bunch with qualifiers ahead in the next week. So lots of good stuff coming on the women's side as well. And I think the biggest thing that we're encouraging and not letting them know is this is a big picture sport. It's not, you know, it's not necessarily what happened yesterday or what happens tomorrow, but like they were mentioning, what you learn every week and the habits that you build along the way and just keeping an eye on the big picture.
Great. What else?
Any other questions from the floor? Any of our athletes, coaches? Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. For those that that did play golf today, some housekeeping. Our guests can pick up their golf bags outside where you registered this morning, so just out in the front loop. For any of our journalists that are looking to speak to an athlete, a coach, somebody with the national team program, let me know. We'll likely go outside or we'll find a quiet place. Thank you very much for joining us today. Again, thank you to Weston for hosting us. This is a special day. It will continue to be a special day on our calendar, and we appreciate everybody's support for the national team program and for golf in Canada. So thank you very much.